Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 12th on the West Coast, and now November the 13th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. You folks in the Ukraine, pay especially close attention to tonight's show, because we have a message for you, as well as anyone else who's been contemplating taking a swine flu shot. Also, we would like to welcome those who are listening on blogtalkradio.com. We appreciate the fact that you carry this program and make it available to folks around the world, along with bbsradio.com as well. And for those of you who have been emailing me, telling me you're trying to find Wind Talkers Radio Network on the internet, you're not going to find them that way. If you live in an area where there is a microbroadcaster, you can pick up the show either on AM or FM, depending on your particular area. That's how you listen to Wind Talkers Radio Network. Of course, those of you who are listening on Wind Talkers know exactly what I'm talking about. Before we bring tonight's guest on board, want to address an issue that I know we're going to be talking about. There has been a lot of disinformation going out, and we've been explaining to you why. We've had several doctors on this show, some who are scientists, some who are naturopaths, and in other words, their interests are in helping you to stay healthy, having a strong immune system, understanding the way to eat, what foods you should eat, what vitamins are important for your diet, how you can get those vitamins in your body the most natural way. And that seems to butt heads with the pharmaceutical companies. And we have spoken about the fact that IBM issued to their upper-level management in France in 2006 a memorandum saying that definitively 100% chance there would be a pandemic in the next 5 years, which means somewhere between 2006 and 2011. Here we are smack dab in the middle of that period, and they're telling us we have a pandemic. Now, what we want people to understand is that what's being reported as the swine flu in the Ukraine is not the swine flu. There is another type of virus that has been unleashed upon you people, and getting a swine flu shot is only going to compound any problem that you have. Now, my sources tell me that the death toll that's been reported on all these websites around the world and by the mainstream media are fictitious. The numbers are nowhere near as high as what has been proclaimed. It seems to double every day or two. And there are not over a million people infected. There are not 800,000 people infected, or even 400,000 people infected. Now, as of a few days ago, we had heard that maybe some 200,000 people had been affected in some way, and I heard that there were about 237 deaths. But this is not the swine flu, so getting a swine flu shot is not going to help. It's only going to make it worse. Whatever this virus is, it's a mutation of something that may have been at one point the swine flu, and who knows? They could have put some traditional Russian cocktail into it and made it lethal. Or they could have spiced it with some African spices. Who knows? We're not going to blame green monkeys, but the symptoms that people are having are hemorrhaging in the lungs. Now, this has been diagnosed as pneumonic plague, and that is not it either. Okay, people are calling it what they are familiar with. It's a new strain of virus. It's obviously a biological weapon that's been used. We've heard reports that Romania has the same problem. And although some countries are stating that they have the swine flu pandemic and hundreds of thousands of victims of swine flu, these are being ramped up for fear. Now, why would another country spread such a biological agent? Well, if it's in their interest to overtake a country, certainly they might do that. Or if they stand to create a panic and they can assist in this massive effort to create fear throughout the planet. So people think that the only way they're going to survive is to get a shot. These countries are going to make a lot of money, too, just like the pharmaceutical companies. They'll kick out a few billion dollars to make hundreds of billions of dollars. And they want the cooperation of as many people. They're into producing disease and death and panic and fear, and that's it. With the back end being in the enlargement of their own personal bank accounts. That's all this has been on, at every turn, and that's what where we'll leave it tonight. We'll talk about this more, though, however, with tonight's guest, and I suppose we're going to be talking about the Fort Hood false flag incident that we experienced also last week. Tonight's guest has a very popular website, and he's a very popular guest on the show, as well as on many other radio shows around our country. He is in the top, well within the top 50,000 websites around the world, and he is a researcher and a journalist himself. He is the editor of educate-yourself.org. And is a metaphysical scientist as well, my good friend Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show this evening.
Thank you very much, Don. I'm so glad to be on with you again.
Well, I don't know if you made any sense of what I said about the Ukraine, but to the best of my ability, I've tried to find out what's going on. We're not hearing the truth whatsoever in the media. Just more of the same garbage. You know, you would think you're hearing about a bowling tournament the way they handle the story on the local news, and either a bowling tournament or some kind of raffle. You know, don't worry, the vaccinations are on the way. We hear this nonstop now, and I'm sure in your area you're hearing the same thing.
Oh yeah, sure. That's been the you know, that's been the main thrust of the propaganda since they began the vaccinations here in the United States. First article I put out, well, it's not the first article, but it's the one that I wrote sort of heralding the opening phase, shall we say, of the vaccination campaign. I posted it on October 5, and I called it the great poisoning begins, and that's exactly what the campaign is. And so just in the beginning of October, I was hearing over the radio, NPR, for example, I mentioned that in that article, that they were saying, well, Los Angeles will get its first batch of swine flu by so-and-so date in early October. I forget the exact date, perhaps around October 5 or 6 or 7. And it arrived just in the nick of time, this lady on NPR said, and so that school children, you know, in Los Angeles will be able to be protected and yada, yada, yada. And the same sort of announcements were heard in every state in the country. Yaha, yoo-hoo, thank God, you know, the swine flu vaccine, looks like we're going to make it. And so that was the beginning of this incredible, incredible, deceitful propaganda campaign to launch this swine flu vaccination. Now, as you know, starting in the spring with the advent of the swine flu in Mexico in April of this year, all summer long, we're hearing these absolutely absurd pronouncements from the World Health Organization and from our own government, Health and Human Services, as are people in every major industrial country of the world are hearing similar contrived reports about the swine flu pandemic. It never existed from the beginning. The people who did succumb to whatever they were calling swine flu in Mexico were undoubtedly intentionally infected, since Obama's people bought with him a man who was carrying vials of this Fort Detrick brewed swine flu with them to Mexico on that very trip. I mean, Stephen King couldn't write a more bizarre novel than what's actually occurring before our eyes in the news every day. I mean, it reads like a movie. It's unbelievable how transparent these people are in their chicanery, and yet, unbelievably, a large segment of the population buys it. They think it's legitimate. They think there really is a swine flu pandemic. And what continues to flabbergast me, I put articles every day on it, a new article shows up every day, is that, well, I just put one up a couple of days ago. It had to do with a 42-year-old woman in Quebec who dies from the paper says, from swine flu complications exactly 2 days after she takes the swine flu vaccination. And the entire thrust of the article is that, well, we're concerned that the Ministry of Health in Canada is concerned that they haven't been able to get these vaccines to everybody in time, but we're attending to the problem, and please don't worry, folks. Everyone will get their turn, and we're going to speed up the vaccination routines for kids in school, and we're going to get pregnant women in the front of the line. So don't worry, we're going to protect the most vulnerable, first, and then everyone will get their turn, so don't worry.
Oh, yes, and the most vulnerable are the children and the pregnant women.
Of course.
And they assure us that the stockpiles are going to build up.
Yes,
they're
exactly.
They're
apologizing that they can't infect enough people fast enough, poison enough people fast enough. So I put that entire article up, and there was, at the time I posted it, there were 17 comments. And of those 17 comments, only five people who commented understood the insanity of that article. In other words, what they don't get, what these remaining 12 of those 17 commentators didn't get, because every single one of them, of the 12, are complaining that they're not getting the flu vaccine fast enough. Why are we giving the flu vaccine to the Guantanamo detainees ahead of our citizens? Why are we giving it to prisoners in jail ahead of the citizens? Shouldn't the citizens who pay the taxes be first? I mean, that sort of comment. And exactly five people realize that the whole story is an extended addendum to Alice in Wonderland. I mean, it's insane what's being said in that story. Five people understood that the woman died as a result of the damn vaccine. And yet the majority commentators in the story are buying the hypothesis of the writers of the article that this thing is moving so fast, it's so dangerous, it's so lethal, look what happens to this 42-year-old woman. She got the vaccine, but it couldn't save her. She didn't get vaccinated early enough, we're supposed to assume.
Now, it sounds to me like that forum has been visited by les agents provocateurs. Okay. How else do you say it?
very good French pronunciation.
Merci.
Yeah, of course. It's
il n'y a pas de quoi. You're welcome.
It's typical of what I've been reading. There was a story I posted a few days before that from Ireland. Similar propaganda. Don't worry, folks. We're moving as fast as we can to get the vaccine. Our goal is to save everybody. That's the madness that they're parading in these articles. And I just want to review what we've been talking about since they launched this campaign for new listeners, for people who don't understand the very basics. Here are the basics. The government, the WHO, announced an outbreak of the so-called swine pandemic in April in Mexico. There was no natural event that took place. People in that locale were intentionally infected by covert means. That's how they came down. The government, the media, mainstream media, and the governments, you know, it says everyone's playing along, immediately started to exaggerate the numbers of how many people were sick in Mexico, and most startling, how many people died. We talked about this in other shows. But within the first week of that manufactured event, the media was saying there was 400 and some odd people dead. I forget the exact number, 416 or whatever number they were shouting at day five or day six of the, you know, the great swine flu plague pandemic of 2009. Then I mentioned that other people were looking at the CDC records, they were checked. They said, wait a minute. How many people died? And as soon as critics, let's say on the internet, started to question the numbers, our CDC and the media did an immediate about face on the numbers. They suddenly dropped the numbers down from 400 and something down to 4 or 6 dead in the space of a day or so. I remember so well when this occurred. Because it was incredulous. You're reading this stuff, and he said, I can't believe they're doing this. To so boldly exaggerate the number, and then to just as quickly backpedal. This characterization of wildly expanding infection had taken place all summer, exaggerating numbers to unbelievable heights. As you pointed out in a previous talk, somewhere in, perhaps it was May, I forget, May, early June, they were saying 1 million people in New York were come down with the swine flu. I mean, it was just insane.
Yeah, they said 800,000 one day, and then and they attributed this back to the spring, saying that this began sometime in March or April, which was ridiculous, okay? And you don't hear this report until the fall. You know, all of the summer went by, and they came up with this 800,000, and 2 days later they added another 200,000 people.
Right.
And you know, I have Michael Anthony on the show from time to time, and he's in New York, and he laughed, and he said, nobody in New York's heard about this.
I know.
This is how ridiculous it is. So didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no. But it's an important point to make it clear what I was referring to. Okay, so let's get to the Ukraine now. Probably the one of the best visited website, at least for what we call alternative news, is Jeff Rentz's website, Rentz.com. I mean, I go there all the time. That's where I grab a lot of articles that I reproduce on my website. Jeff Rentz occasionally runs some articles of mine on his website, and I'm grateful to be to have a relationship with him, and I'm happy that he's run my pieces, it's et cetera. Well, what I've been very much concerned about since spring was the chief or the top individual that Jeff Rentz promotes at his website as, let's say, Mr. Swine Flu Authority, is a man named Dr. Henry Nyman. We've talked about his, quote, work and other interviews. If there was anybody who's been pumping the Ukraine numbers, it's Dr. Nyman. And his interviews are posted right at the top of Jeff Rentz's page, and his daily commentaries from his website about the exploding numbers in the Ukraine are posted every single day. Now, where is he getting his numbers? Well, he tells you, he links to them. He brings you to the Ministry of Health of Ukraine, and they have a chart that is posted daily that says how many are hospitalized, how many die, blah, blah, blah. They have a number of categories. There might be, I can't remember exactly how many columns, but 18, 20, 22 columns or so, and they're breaking statistics down.
I have a quick question. Do you think they're coming up with these figures using Doppler 2 radar?
Well, I'm going to get to that idea. Because
the reason I bring that up is because the weatherman can't even tell us what the weather's going to be tomorrow.
Okay.
And they're predicting these numbers.
Right.
You know, they have no effective way of tracking these numbers.
That's why we're talking now. This is exactly the point I want to get to, because this is what he's quoting, and he's not making numbers up. He's taking what they're reporting. But what are the Ministry of Health in Ukraine reporting? First, I have to assume that the Ministry of Health has the equivalency of the CDC in this country, because I'm surprised to see that a lot of countries, Russia, for instance, and other countries, perhaps Ukraine, actually uses the same acronym, CDC, for their country, Center for Disease Control. So I haven't checked carefully, but I have the feeling that, it started out as the United States institution's name, you know, Center for Disease Control. But apparently a lot of other, you know, which let's call them NWO countries, are now adopting virtually the same acronym. I find that odd, but anyway, I'm getting that idea because I'm reading sites from other countries, and they're saying that their country's CDC. So anyway, so it's the equivalent, we'll say, of the CDC. It's the government's official organ of information, you know, about what's happening with the swine flu, who's getting infected, who's hospitalized, so forth and so on. Now,
may I guess what organ that is?
I
you got my point there, right?
in the most in the most upstanding way. I did not have any pejorative meaning in mind, but I'll take a joke wherever I can get it. Okay. Now, what sort of track record has the CDC had in the United States in posting information about swine flu deaths, hospitalizations, reportage, confirmed cases, etc.? You would think United States, you know, big deal country of the world, should have the best track record in this regard. I mean, you know, we kind of expect, some podunk banana republic in South America to fudge the numbers, but not the big deal United States. No way. We're so official. We've got O's all over the place, you know, because we're just official this, official that.
No, we were reporting this stuff on the swine flu before the CDC was even publicly admitting anything about a pandemic, if you remember.
Oh, I do. Yeah. That's where I want to go.
Okay. I'm sorry. I keep going where you want to go.
But you see, this country's Center for Disease Control is the most unreliable, the most erroneous plagued error-plagued reportage outfit we could possibly have. Because anyone who simply looks at the record week by week, month by month, starting from back in April, see what the CDC reports, and then you have people who have brains, who write articles in Challenge, he says, hey, wait a minute. They're saying there's 416 dead, but where are they? I'm checking the obits in Mexico. I don't see these numbers reported by the government. What's going on? Oh, I'm sorry. We got it wrong. There's only four dead. This is the CDC backpedaling wildly, right along with their, you know, their propaganda pals in mainstream media. Anyone who did a college-level examination of the CDC accuracy of reportage and backpedaling that follows in the wake of their wildly, you know, erroneous figures would see that the CDC is completely unreliable in this regard. Now, the other thing that they've been doing to further dilute the quality of their information, not that it was ever, you know, in anything that you could call a decent zone to begin with, what do they further do to muddy the waters? Scientific organizations supposed to be tightening the numbers, supposed to be increasing the quality of observation and oversight, not going in the opposite direction and fudging, diluting, and creating vagueness where there ought to be accuracy. But that's what the CDC has been doing. They issue this ridiculous, moronic declaration that that doctors, hospitals, etc., no longer should make any attempt to confirm these are swine flu, merely report who's ever coughing as a swine flu victim. Is this Alice in Wonderland or what? Yet that's what we're dealing with. So now, we have the United States CDC, the worst possible monitor of the situation, because their reliability is zero. Their accuracy is abysmal. They're you know, you just can't trust them. Now, let's look at the CDC equivalent ministry in Ukraine. Should we trust their reportage to a higher level than we're getting from the United States CDC? I don't think so. I'll just finish this point. The Ukraine Ministry of Health, probably under orders from the larger NWO network who are trying to coordinate this whole campaign worldwide, are probably fudging the numbers to a greater extent than even the Americans are. So what I'm saying is that Nyman's reporting these people as if it's all these numbers are legit. We don't know that at all. Because they might be reporting anyone who's in a hospital bed as a swine flu victim. And maybe they're multiplying that number by 10 or 100. Or anyone who's got a cough is a swine flu victim. Or anyone who dies of anything is a swine flu death. We don't know the facts. But Nyman is reporting this as facts, because Nyman has a track record from the very beginning of these events, in the beginning of this year, in fact, of being a fear-monger, fear-promoter, pandemic flu promoter. This guy has never once recognized that the swine flu pathogens were created in a bioweapons lab. Never once. If you listen to these guys' interviews, and I have going back to January of this year, he makes them available on his website. I've downloaded them all. I've listened to them all. He's a propagandist. He is selling the cover story that the CDC or the World Health Organization wants us to believe. Namely, this is a natural evolving bug. Unfortunately, we have no idea or no understanding why it suddenly popped up, but it's here. And that the only way you're going to protect yourself from dying from this deadly plague is to get your swine flu vaccination. And if you get symptoms, in fact, don't even wait till you get symptoms. Start taking, you ready for it, Tamiflu to as a preventative so that you can, you know, prevent yourself from coming down. Or if you do come down with it, like kids come down with it, that's it. Tamiflu, right out of the box. This is the mantra Nyman is repeating over and over again on his website and on every interview he does with Jeff Rentz.
Any vaccination or product related to the flu that his Ligand Pharmaceuticals will make a royalty on, he promotes.
Yeah, now what? Tell me the connection between Henry Nyman and Ligand Pharmaceuticals.
Well, it was originally his company was called Progenix, Progenx, and it was renamed Ligand Pharmaceuticals. And Ligand Pharmaceuticals, I think, was invested into by Smith GlaxoKline. And the ligand technology is the method through which they bind an atom to a metal, which is why they need to put metals into these vaccinations to get it to go into the brain and infect the brain, for example, which mercury is known to do. And every company that's using these technologies pays a royalty to Ligand Pharmaceuticals. So Nyman, but he doesn't talk about that, does he? That's what I found out from doing my research on Dr. Henry Nyman. And I shared that with Dr. A. Truat. He was very, very impressed with that amount of research. And it ties into some other companies. I'm still coming up with companies, Ken. When I looked at the beheading that occurred in Virginia Tech, I could tie that to another company in San Francisco area that is using these ligands, that ligand technology in what they do. And again, it's the same DNA mapping. Only this is a far more serious aspect of using these technologies to produce virulent strains of bacteria. They talk about death cells in the patents. Now, they give one the illusion that they're fighting cancer and they're fighting diseases. We've been listening to this story of them fighting and looking for a cure for cancer since we were born, have we not? You and I, at least. Mm-hmm. And yet, they know what causes cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They've created it, and these technologies actually use tumors. They extract material out of tumors and put these into these solutions that these companies license from Ligand Pharmaceuticals. Yeah. I've read the patents. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of applications, probably endless, when you start running these sequences through the computer systems, which I identified with Dr. Orly Tate's husband and Daylight Chemical Information Systems and the Oracle 8i computers. So again, they're all working together. Now, when you heard me sort of grunt, I thought you had paused at one point. And that's because I was going to say, you know, let's use some intuition here, okay? And I used my intuition, and I discovered that there was at least a $1 billion bank heist in Kiev. And the former director of that bank was a Russian. Now, we have a biological agent being spread around the Ukraine. Do you think it may be as a blackmail or extortion? You know, this is what we can do to your people. Lay off of the investigation on the $1 billion bank heist. That's really the message. We have a similar case we could say in any country in the world this is going on, but we have a case just like that in Thailand that was directly related to some young children who went on a U.S. ship, the USS New Orleans. Well, it so happens that there's a guy that was just extradited back to Thailand from Canada. I don't have his name at my disposal, but that was a $3 billion bank heist. a business partner of Adnan Khashoggi, the Saudi Arabian arms dealer. So this is just organized crime. This is all this is. These are the organized crime families fighting against each other. Now, that's certainly not something that the people in the Ukraine want to hear, but they know that the bank fraud went on. And I'll tell you that a biological agent that is not the swine flu and is not pneumonic plague is being spread for a reason. Now, if they can promise the government that they'll get a kickback to replace that $1 billion that was stolen, they'll kick out $1 billion out of hundreds of billions of dollars that can be made off of this. That's less than advertising costs on TV. So I submit that that's likely the scenario there. You have the same fraud that went on in Venezuela and the Stanford case that came out after the Madoff case. Now, this is alleged to be $3 billion. I suspect it's probably $300 billion, but they say $3 billion. And you have this swine flu epidemic in the Amazon jungle. Now, how did those people get that? Did they get that when they went to the bank? We're talking about the indigenous people. You know, it's quite obvious that this is always about making money. And so the fear mongering is certainly to sell vaccines. You wonder now. I read about a case in West Virginia this morning. I presume this happened very recently. The police are holding down a little boy, giving him a vaccine.
Oh my!
And the mother couldn't do a thing about it.
Oh my God!
She had to turn and walk away.
Oh my God!
Okay. The police are authorized to force these on little children now? What is going on with this world? Well, we're dealing with psychopaths.
Definitely.
Okay? You know, and I hope I didn't get you off track, but this is the kind of things I'm hearing. I'm looking at the real thing going on in the Ukraine. And they have a disease that is causing people's lungs to hemorrhage. Okay? And it's a biological weapon. That's what it is. It's going on in Romania, too. I suppose if we just Google bank corruption in Romania, we'll find the same thing there, too. You can probably find out it's the same groups involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that issue here in the States. And this is also misdirection. But at the same time, they'll misdirect, they'll murder people, and they'll make as much money as they can in the process.
Yes, you know, these are very valuable insights because, you know, we're talking about misdirection and darker criminal activities going on beneath the surface while the public is being exposed to a surface cover story. Now, of course, this is not to say that people in the Ukraine, particularly the Western Kiev area and all that, are not having difficulty. What you're saying is that there is a, let's say, a secondary bioweapon that was dispensed in some way, probably aerially, but we can't be sure because I've already posted a few stories on my website of people reporting what I'm calling, or they're calling, mist or fogs. Of sort of, well, it looks like a fog, but in an area and a location where normally a fog bank would not exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the middle of the day in a hot southern state, you know, with the sun shining, you don't normally have a fog, but that's what a couple of people reported. I just got a report, I just put it up tonight, of a lady from Wisconsin who noticed on the evening, this is the nighttime of November 8, November 9, a sort of very strange mist that she could feel as she went out to a car with another person. She could feel as she was described as little pinpricks against her skin, and the man she was with said, nah, you're wrong. And then, but as soon as they got to the car, this is a clear night. They could see the stars.
Mm-hmm.
There was this, this fine, mist on the windshield. So this really is mystifying her. And, so she's wondering if there isn't some sort of perhaps nighttime spraying operation, that is somehow, creating these high-density myths that the people breathe and have to drive through, et cetera. I also mentioned that we haven't had chemtrails in this area to speak of. You know, we get a few, but no heavy, heavy barrage of chemtrails for many, many months now. Actually, you can go back to midsummer, and many days were weeks at a time we have zero chemtrails. There's a lot of sylph activity in this area, but for the past few days, around the 10th and 11th, there was a very heavy, heavy spraying in this area. We haven't seen that. I haven't seen that here in a long time. Last time I saw it, so that it would opaque out the sky. You know, the sun was opaque, and you saw these long, sort of black bands beneath the overcast of the chemtrails. Very ominous looking. I took a lot of pictures, and I reported it on my website. And I've had other people from same area here, Southern California, send me emails and tell me, yeah, I've seen it too, and it's amazing. I haven't seen that heavy. So what I thought is that maybe there's a swine flu component to this heavy spraying, because here in California, the newspapers are reporting that people aren't interested in getting the swine flu vaccine because, frankly, Don, no one locally, not what I'm hearing, seems to be coming down with symptoms of swine flu. I don't know if this applies to Northern California, but, it's fairly warm here in Southern California. And because chemtrail activity has been rather low for most of the summer into the fall, I'm wondering if maybe they're stepping up the chemtrail campaign because they want to have more people come down with swine flu in order to have them, stampede for the swine flu vaccinations like they've been doing in the northern parts of the country.
Yeah. They've been finding metals in the chemtrails. In fact, I've heard reports that there are these nano-sized particles of titanium that are being found in chemtrails as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays into what we were talking about with these ligand technologies. You take an ion or a molecule mm-hmm. and you attach
yes.
it to a metal.
Right.
Okay, the barium.
Right,
access
the barium,
a medium to carry that and,
right.
and to cause it to stick.
Right. So you're bringing up some really valuable points here. And to just return to where I was going when I was initially talking about the Ukraine outbreak, is that Henry Nyman is this Mr. Swine Flu Authority guru on Jeff Rentz's website. And he is the one who is posting these daily ratcheting up of the numbers. And if you examine his website and look at all of his articles that he has listed on his main article page, you will see the expression raises concerns in about 50 or 60% of the titles of all the articles he has posted there.
That's Tavistock language.
Yeah, he's using expressions which raise concerns. The reason I'm calling him an alarmist is because he is doing exactly what the CDC and the WHO has been doing from the inception of this propaganda campaign. He's playing alarmist with the numbers. He wants to come across as, this dignified senior scientist. He doesn't mention that he is the founder of the Progenix company, which later changed its name to Ligand. Now, whether Henry Nyman is listed on the board of directors with Ligand, which I tend to doubt, he's certainly not the president. I've been doing some research on Ligon. I don't know if he shows up on the books anywhere with Ligon.
Well, you can presume. I mean, it's in his biography on his Recombinomics.com website.
Right, right. So he does you know, tell you on his own website that he founded it. Now, so even if his name, though, however, is not shown as a stockholder, et cetera, I think we can all be pretty sure that the man who founded the company has an interest in the financial future of the company, and whether he's listed as a stockholder or not, I think we can safely assume that he's got his fingers in the pie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, in a nutshell, that Nyman, the CDC, and the World Health Organization are to the swine flu what swamp gas is to the UFO community.
Right. Very good. So, now, by the way, I did a little check on Ligon's stock, you know, prices in the last year or so, and I see that about the time of the breakout, the so-called breakout of swine flu pandemic in April or so of this year, their stock was up somewhere around 17, 18, 19 bucks, you know, a share. And now, in the last couple of weeks, it's down to like $1.97. I mean, a big precipitous drop.
Do they have a split?
Well, that's a possibility, because I have noticed, and again, I didn't do an in-depth research of the company, so this is just a fast examination of some SEC graphs. So this is just a fast look-see. They have been acquiring companies. I saw that. I think they acquired two this year. Now, usually a company that's, you know, a corporation that's going into the tank doesn't buy other companies. So I don't know the reason why the stock is as low as it is, but I just thought it was interesting that prior to the April breakout, they were, you know, somewhere around, I'm guessing now, somewhere towards the beginning of the year, they were somewhere around six bucks a share. And then April, just about as the outbreak was showing up in the news, they shoot up to around 17, 18, 19. Then they stay there for much of the summer, and then somewhere around, I don't know, perhaps July or August, it starts dipping down, and then it continues to dip through September, October, into November. So someone else who has the time and expertise can perhaps do a more thorough examination of what's going on with that country. But one thing that I know is that Henry Nyman is selling virtually the same propaganda story that the World Health Organization and the CDC is selling about the swine flu pandemic. And the second thing he's doing is that he is the guy who is the main source of information for the, at least in the U.S. press, it seems, because a lot of people get their material from Jeff Rentz's site. He's the main guy who's pushing the panic button, as it were, for the Ukraine scenario. And by the way, while we're at it, if you recall, Drew Raines broke a story in midsummer concerning these Navy ships that left San Diego after their crew was vaccinated, and they had to quarantine the ship at sea, and the vast bulk of the crew came down and two men died.
And I referred to the one ship that went to Phuket, Thailand.
Right, right. I know that's part of the story. In fact,
the
whole story involved at least five ships, maybe as many as seven. But anyway, I just want to point out that Henry Nyman has friends that have a forum called Ryza Lab. It's linked on his website. It's not, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
It's linked on. That forum, they have a chat forum, you know, back and forth chat, and they're all, if you read the forum, you think they're, you know, they're kind of, they're all members of the board of pharmaceutical corporations, because every single poster to that forum is rah, 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 vaccines are great, and anyone who doesn't get them is an idiot and a fool. That's, if you read the forum, they're swine flu promoters like you couldn't believe, I mean, they're vaccine promoters like you can't believe. Okay, so, when when the story came out, and particularly in September, late September, Bob Chapman was being interviewed by Drew Raines. Bob Chapman put the story out into his financial newsletter, and then it started to really show up on a lot of websites. Well, around that time, it was by this time we're talking early October, there was this long posting on this Rizalab forum about an individual, we don't know his name, I'm not sure it's a man or a woman, but anyway, this person goes by the username of MKEY1, the letter M followed by E1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only identification I have at this point. But this person says that, well, I had a little time between patients, so I started to do some research about these ships and this whole story and yada, yada, yada. And he takes about two or three pages to essentially, you know, just mind you, he's doing this between patients, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, adroit this guy is. Anyway, between patients, he types out this two or three page expose, essentially debunking all the aspects of the story that Drew Raines had been bringing out. And the conclusion was, this guy is that he says, you know, he named the boxer as the ship in question. We don't know for sure that's the ship in question, but it may have been. It was one of the five, but he or she names it definitively, and he also names the captain of that ship and the chief petty officer who when the original story, Drew Raines, came out, reported that the captain and a chief petty officer had died. Drew Raines or Bob Chapman or no one else never said the name of the captain or the chief petty officer.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to remember. This debunker, MKEY1, on Nyman's forum, Rizalab, said that the captain of the ship, because he went to the, you know, the website of the USS Boxer, and he said the captain's doing fine and he's kicking and he says he's doing very well for a dead man, et cetera, et cetera. So he debunks the whole story. It's all exaggerated. According to MKEY1, a total of 69 people got slight flu symptoms as a result of that. There was no quarantine at sea. It was just a little slight, you know, glitch, and it was reported, exaggerated actually by CBS News, according to MKEY1, et cetera.
And that the officer hadn't been deployed yet. That's the truth behind that. So,
okay. So
it was an attempt to debunk the story on the basis of knowing the guy wasn't on the ship. That's what I'm saying.
It was this guy's posting, the debunking story of MKEY1, that was distributed all over the internet as the almost the official debunking of the hoax of the Navy ship stories. It was on Rents. You name it. I found at least 20 websites that were reporting Drew's story about the ship, you know, because they sort of generally sort of, it's kind of pro-patriot type blogs, anti-vaccine type blogs. And then, however, they're all reporting this debunking story by MKEY1 of Nyman's Rizalab forum as the official debunking of the entire episode. And the same story is being used at all these websites. So a lot of these people are scratching their heads. They're saying, well, we thought this ship story was on the level, but now I don't know because this guy seems to know what he's talking about and yada, yada, yada. And then the whole ship story just kind of dies through the efforts of Henry Nyman's forum and the posting of a party we only know of as MKEY1. Now, we happen to have closer information, and the day's coming in which we're going to put this to a written story as to the name of the ship, the name of the man who died, et cetera, et cetera. Drew Raines got the information directly from wives of seamen aboard the ship in question. This is before the Navy clamped down on those wives and told them, shut your mouth or you're going in the clink because this is a national security clampdown. Before they were told that, we got the story direct from the sailors through their wives directly to Drew Raines. What Drew Raines reported initially is the accurate and correct story. The number of men who got ill was the vast majority of the ship, and the vast majority of them got severely ill. There was a rescue operation that was undertaken to prevent further deaths. Two men did die. In other words, Drew called it accurately from the beginning. This debunking story is a work of fiction by one person whose name we don't even know. And this is the same forum that Henry Nyman regularly participates in. And this is the same Henry Nyman who's selling the swine flu hoax at Rents.com. This man needs to be outed. He's a propagandist of the first order, and he needs to be called a propagandist by everyone in the anti-vaccine movement, and stop giving this guy a pass.
I agree. You know that I've been looking into that, and no one's been telling me I'm saying any untruths in this. I may not have all of the facts, but I certainly can deduce what's going on from the facts I've been able to gather. And you know, how much credibility do we give someone that uses an email handle as their only source of identification? And you know, you Google the word MKEY1, it's a keyboard that has an interface for like a handheld device, like a PDA or something. You see that. You see references to programming language. So this is somebody that is very, could be Nyman himself, just using another name and making it appear that this conversation, that this contribution is going on. Certainly, I wouldn't put it past him on the basis of the phony figures that he puts out.
Yeah, we have to remember.
This is fear-mongering of the highest order is all it is.
By the man who founded a pharmaceutical company whose patents are
licensed
to reap profit as a result of the sale of these vaccines. We have to remember that.
I mean,
talk about, you know, he might as well put up Rupert Murdoch as the, you know, as the main coordinator of information about the swine flu.
Or Al Gore.
or he's going to run Nyman as the, you know, the guru of information about the swine flu. This is obscene. This guy should be, you know, should be relegated to the category of propagandist, because that's precisely what he is.
Well, somebody's got to be paying for all of these websites and all this effort, you know, all this work to get these phony figures out. And it's quite simple to imagine who that might be.
Oh, yeah.
Who benefits?
Who benefits? Of course. So anyway, I'll stop on that rant. I just needed to ventilate that thought. I do want to say, though, I'm very happy to see that recently, I don't know exactly when, but my guess is in the past week or two, there was a fairly well-attended demonstration in front of Parliament in London by people who are very upset about the swine flu vaccination mandate and are very are not willing at all to be vaccinated under any circumstances, and they're registering their protests with signs, etc. So I was sent a YouTube of that. I just put it up yesterday. I think the YouTube just went up a day or two ago. So I have the feeling the event was very, very recent. The participants are wearing, you know, coats, so it must have happened in the last week or so. But I just want to, give my regards to those British people who are resisting and taking action. It's not enough to just be convinced that this is a hoax, to be convinced that or to at least come to realize that the vaccine is a bioweapon that's intended to harm you, not protect you or help you, and to just sit in your home and say, hey, I got the story. I know what's really going on, because that's not going to stop the agenda from going forward. You have to participate on some level within your capacity. And these people are doing, you know, it takes time. They, you know, maybe they got to take their kids with them. They may have to take off from the job. Maybe they don't have job. I don't know. But the point is, it takes time and effort and gumption to make a sign and get out there with others and to protest. But it's not going to stop. It's not going to ameliorate. It's not going to lessen unless people fight it. And you have to do something actively to fight it. So I hope that scene that I saw on that YouTube video multiplies itself many times throughout England, but everywhere in the world where they're talking about mandatory vaccinations, or they've begun mandatory vaccinations. I'm appalled at the story you just told me about the police holding down a child and vaccinating against their will. I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm going to have to find out the particulars on that story, but I know they've talked about, or it was proposed that there's going to be mandatory vaccinations in France, Greece. These countries, people in the country who may hear this interview need to participate in the fight. You just can't be an armchair spectator on this. You've got to do something. If you can only sit at your computer, but at least get involved in an email campaign to alert others and to urge others to start protesting. The elites of the New World Order, we could always count on this. It is a fact of life. It's a fact. They are cowardly by nature. You know, people who abuse others in this way are always cowardly by nature. And in this case, you have elitists. You have people who are accustomed to power, position, wealth, ease. These aren't the sort of people who are, let's say, shall we say, gutsy. They don't get in the ring with you, you know. They're soft, but they have no character. Otherwise, if they had character, they wouldn't be involved in the business of betraying their countrymen to a satanic New World Order depopulation agenda. They wouldn't be doing that. You know, the high-level ones, at least, are Satanists. You know, they murder babies and satanic sacrifice, drink blood and eat their organs and all that disgusting crap because they're going to get, you know, whatever they're going to get, make Satan happy or, you know, extend their own life or steal the life force and all that other nonsense they bite into. So these people, though, don't put on the gloves. They need minions to do it for them. And if the minions don't do it, the agenda doesn't go forward. So if enough people get in the face of these cowards and call them traitors and hound them and harass them and give them no quarter, give them no rest, guess what? They start backing down. They start backing down. Because the minions start to think, hey, wait a minute. Am I doing the right thing? Am I working for the right side? Should I be doing this? You see? When enough people get upset, but you gotta demonstrate your anger. You have to demonstrate your frustration, your unacceptance of these. You gotta protest. You gotta get out there. And even though the mainstream won't run it, won't cover it, will play down the numbers like they did on September 12th, there was between 1 and 2 million people in Washington, D.C., and ABC News, that illuminated mouthpiece, said there was 60,000 cops. Yeah. I mean, this is obscene. But we have something. We have YouTube. And we all have, well, a lot of us at least have computers in our home and internet access. And a lot of stuff can come your way with a guy with a inexpensive video camcorder and access to YouTube.
Well, there are demonstrations going on all over the world like that, Ken, that aren't being reported.
Right. I realize that.
For months.
You don't need the mainstream today, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you need to participate. You need to get busy. And, you know, this is pretty serious what's been taking place since early October. The swine flu vaccine is first. There's a lot of people who are dead now who weren't dead at the beginning of October because of the swine flu, the wonderful swine flu vaccine.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are crippled now that weren't crippled before they got their wonderful swine flu vaccine. And what they're doing with, particularly with the kids, they're giving that mist up the nose, is that the kid is carrying a live virus and he's spreading it everywhere for 3 weeks. So he's taking it home. So naturally people who are parents of children who go to school or other school, yeah, it's spreading like wildfire. Why? From the damn vaccine. The people who are vaccinated, at least with the live virus type, are acting as carriers.
And they're going to do that for weeks.
Exactly.
They're going to do it. Dr. Adruat talked about that at great length on a whole series of shows every time I brought up that issue.
Right.
And not just on my show, on his show as well. Mm-hmm. By the way, just for your information, the article about the West Virginia incident with the small boy and the police holding him down while the mother watched in horror, that's posted at Drew Rain's website. So you can go to amd.elequity.com. And that's on his yesterday's News and Views.
Okay, great.
And it's in a couple of other places, too. I've come across it two or three times today. I mean, it's a heart-wrenching story to think that that's going on. But, you know, West Virginia was one of the places where we had heard, and I reported this several months ago, that a patient in a hospital that was getting a checkup for an injury that was being followed up on by the doctor overheard the doctor tell the rest of the staff that their chips had arrived. And this person was absolutely refusing to receive any kind of a microchip. And when the doctor had said, we don't have to do that today.
Yep. Thank you for reminding me, because I did also just put up an article a day or two ago. Again, it was sent to me. It's amazing how so many people send me the material that I've been putting up of late. Anyway, it did. The whole email was about a number of articles that are adding mounting evidence that they are preloading at least a nanochip into the vaccine, into the needles. Now, I can remember hearing an interview that Jeff Rentz did, I think it was in 1998 or 99. I made a recording off the radio at the time. I still have the tape, in which he interviewed someone who was ex-CIA, and I remember clearly in that interview that he says they now have the technology in which they can have a chip so small it'll fit into the needle of a vaccine, and he said they're going to chip people using vaccinations as the cover, and of course they won't tell you. That was 10, 11 years ago I heard that. So it's clear now that more and more stories are coming out that there's specially made needles. I read in one story that the nano chip takes about a 12 power magnification in order to see it. Naturally, it can't be seen with the naked eye, but 12 power is not much, you know, power. So they could be seen if someone could get their hands on some of these preloaded needles and can examine one of those chips under magnification. It'd be nice to get that story out there. But we've known this for quite some time, that they've been using vaccines that are preloaded with a chip, certainly for babies in hospitals. I mean, I feel sorry for parents who've had, not all hospitals, but a lot of hospitals. A, they're vaccinating their babies without the parents' knowledge even. They're just doing it. And B, those babies are getting microchipped. And again, they're not telling the parents anything. And you can believe that if they're forcing military people to accept the swine flu vaccine, they're getting the swine flu chip right along with them.
Yeah. You know, I heard a report. I want to turn this positively in a moment here. I heard a report last night that there are thousands of soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're developing symptoms of ALS and other such type disorders.
Right. Neurological.
Yes, and these are likely caused, again, by these vaccines that they're getting. Now, whether those are swine flu vaccines or just the series of vaccines they're getting, many, many soldiers have come down with something, and they're not being told the truth about what has caused it. Now, this is the positive side here. Very recently, you're familiar with the case of Desiree Jennings, the cheerleader from the Washington Redskins, and her development of a sort of a paralytic condition related to dystonia. She had a form of dystonia from the swine flu vaccination.
Somebody corrected me, so I'll echo the correction. She said she got the seasonal flu. I too thought it was the swine flu. Nevertheless, she came down with this condition 10 days after getting the seasonal swine flu. By the way, she doesn't know what she got. Whatever they told her doesn't mean what she got, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the symptoms that she got are similar to the symptoms that other people that are getting the swine flu vaccination have gotten.
Right.
I'm going to have Dr. Rashid Buttar on the show. He reversed her condition, and she's not 100%, but she's well on her way to a full recovery. She was literally dying at the time he was able to treat her.
I know it.
And I'm looking forward to having him on the show, because we're going to hear a firsthand account of everything. I know you're aware of that story, but just for the listening audience.
Oh, yes, of course. And I too, would have also mentioned it's wonderful news. And as I mentioned on the piece that I put up about it, it should be a wake-up call to everybody that, you know, to stop believing known liars. The government always has lied to the American people. It's never been a time in which they haven't lied to the people. That's all they do, is lie to the people. And it's time to, for the average, you know, person who's not aware of the New World Order takeover agenda, to come to grips with that. You can't trust the government. And you certainly can't trust any organizations that was founded by Rockefeller in the interest of creating a one-world government. The UN is a Rockefeller-created entity. The World Health Organization is a subset of the UN. So you can't trust the World Health Organization either, because they're all working for people you don't particularly want to be working for. So this whole idea of when the government assures you that everything is safe and fine, it's meaningless. Because if you discover that it wasn't safe, you have no recourse. These liars and cretins have already passed laws that free them of any liability. So they can say whatever they want. They will pay no price if you die, or if you come down with dystonia, or you come down with Guillain-Barre, or whatever happens to you as a result of trusting these people and getting that poison vaccine. No one's going to pay a price. Your doctor isn't going to pay the price. The hospital, the person that did the vaccine, the manufacturer, the government spokesman, you know, Nancy Blowhard, Snyderman on NBC, any of these people are assuring you everything's fine and dandy and safe, or we'll pay no price, except who's going to pay the price? You're going to pay the price.
You know what infuriates me, Ken, is that, you know, these lawmakers that have created these draconian laws that protect the pharmaceutical companies do so, you know, why is it that they shouldn't be sued for causing adverse effects by giving untested, undocumented vaccinations or vaccines to innocent people who are being misled about the nature of a disease that they themselves have created? The bottom line is it's about money, isn't it? In other words, these guys have stocks in the companies, in these pharmaceutical companies, and they don't want to see the stock values go down. Because when they have to pay out $100 million by losing a lawsuit, which they would lose. So, you know, the issue here is us holding them accountable for these draconian laws that they pass. This is murder. They've
exactly.
turned murder into an issue of a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. That they have a piece of paper that protects them and gives them the authority to murder people.
Right.
Knowingly.
Knowingly.
You know, this is premeditated murder.
Absolutely. That's exactly,
what else can you call it?
That's exactly what we of the alternative camp have called it from the beginning. If you go back to my website, look at the article I posted on October 5 at the beginning of the poisoning campaign. And I said there what you just said now. I said this is a planned genocide agenda. I didn't originate this. You know, I don't put laurels on my. So I'm just a repeating station here, a relay station. Others have done far more in-depth research than I have done about it. But this is not news to me. I've known about the plan for population reduction since 1995 when I read all about it in Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse. And I wrote about it and put it on the internet in 1996. That overview is still on my website. It's called the New World Order, an overview, or the NWO, an overview. Nothing has changed. I don't think I've touched that article since, I don't know, when the Clinton was in office. They were the Kosovo thing. I think that's the last time I touched it. I'm not sure. But anyway, I suppose I should go back and update it, but essentially, the agenda hasn't changed. All the main points of the population reduction, moving towards a cashless society, greater and greater infringement on privacy, you know, Big Brother, cameras, chips, putting in laws so that when they declare a national emergency, they, in essence, bypassed the Constitution. The Indonesian imposter just declared a national emergency a couple weeks ago. Everything is there in that overview. The whole, everything they're doing, the main points, if you want to call them that, of the New World Order haven't changed. They're just, you know, I did that in 96. This is just 13 years later. In the evolution of that same script. That script has not changed at all.
Yeah. Now this incident in our closing minutes here, this incident in Fort Hood,
mm-hmm.
We've seen this story change. How many times now has it changed?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
It's changing by the minute.
Oh, yeah.
And again, it's follow the money. You know, there was a gold or currency heist that occurred there. That's related to funds that were advanced to the United States via 10,000 tons of gold from the Chinese.
Wow.
That was supposed to back, collateralize the U.S. dollars that were going to be infused into the economy of Iraq. Got parked in Jordan and then transferred conveniently out when no one was watching, likely to Fort Hood, where it was probably there for at least 15 years. And so this event, this false flag event that we had, because they turned it into another reason to blame the Muslim community.
Absolutely, it's so transparent. It's utterly transparent.
And I'll tell you, things are not adding up. With Major Hassan and his role in this matter, or the roles of the people. The story has changed now as to who gets credit for shooting him.
Yes, I saw that, right.
And
first, the woman cop was taking credit, but there's apparently a male cop who actually shot this individual and handcuffed him. And the woman now either didn't hit him at all, or if she did hit him, he didn't act like he was hit because he was reloading and standing when the other cop came on the scene. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe that woman has got an ego the size of Manhattan and wants to pat herself on the back. I don't know, but
well, his role, the alleged major's role. I say alleged major because they're calling him a major. This guy's not certified like other professionals are in the medical field. From what I've seen, it took him 6 years to do his internship. 6 years, a long time to do.
Well, they call him a psychiatrist, so I presume in order to be a psychiatrist,
he was officially a psychiatrist for less than a year.
Well, he had to be a doctor then. I mean, if they're calling him a psychiatrist, he has to have.
But he doesn't have the accreditation. This is what's interesting. I mean, I've been on the state of Virginia site where they list all of these things. In fact, there's the one description of what he did seems like an oxymoron on the basis of what happened there. Mm. Let me see if I can pull that up. I've got a number of documents that I've looked at in regard to that. And just give me a moment here. This is going to be interesting. Give us a weather report or something in the meantime.
Well, okay, I'll just take a moment while you're looking for that to remind listeners: do not, under any circumstances, take or encourage others to get the swine flu vaccine, because all vaccines are unsafe. I've just recently posted a online book that was written in 1957 by a woman named McBean, who really tells the story very well, as did the book by Charles Higgins, which is on your site, Don, tells very well. There are literally dozens of good books on that explain the dangers of vaccines, but fortunately these books are available free online, so it's your opportunity. The photos that you see in the McBean book are, from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and they're black and white, and they look old. That doesn't mean the information isn't 100% valid. It is. Vaccines have never been safe. The whole promotion of vaccinations is a ploy of the pharmaceutical industry. I was, brainwashed as a kid. We all were. Thinking that vaccines are good and necessary and this is what protects us, and we all know the story of Pasteur and, oh my God, wonderful, and the salt vaccine, my God, if it wasn't for that, we'd all have polio today. Well, none of that is true. It's all information that has been hyped, exaggerated, misstated to glorify vaccines. Vaccines are unsafe. They damage the body. They damage the immune system. And the more vaccines you get, you compound the damage. How many children today are suffering from what they're calling autism? Autism is caused by vaccinations. Yes, I know you hear AM talk radio hosts rail at anyone who calls in and suggests that. Why? Because they're all media whores. That's why. They're under directives from the people who pay their salary to play up this story and to play down that story, to give this story a thumbs up and to give this story a thumbs down. That's why I call them whores, because they do what they're told to be done. So yeah, I know the mainstream will debunk this notion, but the reality is, the truth is, autisms are caused by vaccinations. Don't get your kid vaccinated, and he's not going to be autistic. It's as simple as that. Have you found it?
Oh, yes, I did. It only took me a couple of seconds.
Okay.
You want to take back what you just said? Okay.
I liked it.
Okay. This was updated. I find this interesting. His page was updated on 10/13/2009. Why would it have to be updated? This question. He went to Fort Hood in July, they say. And I remind you and the listening audience that his phone number on his business card that he was passing out and was conveniently displayed on a Homeland Security webpage, a Homeland Security sanctioned webpage, we'll say, which was the background investigation by Northeast Investigations, had a picture of the Quran with his business card laid nice and neatly, sort of like the 9/11 hijackers passport that was found two blocks from the World Trade Center. Okay?
Yeah, that's really wonderful, wasn't it? I don't know if they find it, but it's a practically pristine condition.
I don't know. I notice things like this, Ken, and I think it's kind of strange to have the number 301-547-1599, which goes to Maryland, on a business card you're using in Texas. Maybe that's how they do it. I tend to think that it has more to do with MK Ultra than anything. Okay, graduate school, Uniform Services, University of the Health Sciences, F. Edward Herbert School of Medicine, Bethesda, Maryland. Year completed, 2003. This is his medical, osteopathic, or podiatric post-grad school. Again, updated 10/13/2009. Why would you need to update it in 10/13/2009?
Yes, in the 13.
Psychiatry, WRAMC, Washington, D.C., USA. Year residency completed 2007. Disaster and preventative psychiatry. Let me repeat that. Disaster and preventive psychiatry. And the year the year fellowship was completed, 2009. He was a psychiatrist for less than a year. This sounds very much like he was unqualified to do the work that he was doing, or he was part of some other operation, which was a big psyop. And on the basis of the things that I've seen, and there's some references to parents, okay, having died. By the way, his house address where he lived when he lived with his family, the house address was 666 Ramada.
Holy God.
Ramada Road or Ramada Drive, Ramada Avenue. But 666, I found that was interesting.
Well, yeah, and I just wanted to echo, you know, he made this change on October 13.
Well, someone updated this record with the Virginia Board of Medicine. This is off of
their website.
Okay.
I always pay attention to
now, them. Now, certifications and practice areas, okay? None reported, board certification, none.
Oh.
Self-designated practice areas, psychiatry. Does that mean that you can just say, well, I'm a psychiatrist?
Yeah, that's strange.
You know, that'd be like me saying, well, I'm a musician.
Well, that you could do legitimately, but not to say you're a psychiatrist.
Yes.
Without being certified.
Yes. We have a caller that wants to comment on something that I just read. Rodney, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Don.
Hello. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Any comment?
What you just said about when they flashed the Quran,
mm-hmm.
the phone number. I saw that on the nightly news with my own eyes. I'll back you up.
Oh, yeah. I've got a copy of the card.
Well, yes. I saw it when they had it on television at the 6:30 nightly news. Uh-huh. It said the Holy Quran, and you could see the phone numbers and stuff around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had the card neatly posed there for the picture, didn't they?
Yes. And what's funny, well, it's not funny, but what's pathetic, is NBC, CBS, and ABC all showed it at different moments.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how you can take channel chain and you quick hit it?
Yes.
I figured out their pattern of how they do it. They all showed it.
Yeah, they're showing us this. You know, if you don't notice it consciously, your subconscious mind picks up the whole thing, and it legitimizes the story that they've created, the cover story.
Mm-hmm.
But the story's full of holes. I mean, if we just pay attention to what they've said from the beginning, we've seen how many times the story has changed, how many shooters there were. From what we learned from someone there in the proximity of the base, it was two guys he was allegedly counseling, which was probably the pretext of having him there on the scene as their MK butterfly or monarch, if you want to call him that, you know, to mm-hmm. respond to whatever programming he himself was under. We haven't heard anything from him at all. That's been very interesting. Ken, do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, it's obviously a misdirected story. It's obvious that as you said, there are so many holes in this story, and it began with the beginning on November 5. When the commander of the base, was it Cone? Is that his name? General Cone?
Yes.
Said that the man they're calling us on was killed. And I mentioned in my own little write-up, now, if I was a general and I was a commander of the base and I'm facing the world's TV camera, am I going to have my facts straight? Am I going to know whether the man is dead or alive? I think so. The fact that he said he's dead, and then they change it to live, you just aren't that careless at, you know, when you're a general. You just, you know, I just can't believe that. So something really strange is going on. Either there was a dead man who who they decided to undead because they don't want to reveal his identity, and they're saying it's Hassan, but, you know, it's so obvious, particularly in the first opening reports, what you get then, this happens with every false flag event, what you get in the first hours of the story, the news always is a great variance with what they shape it into, beginning with the very next day. And then as each day proceeds, they're shaping the cover story tighter and tighter, and they get rid of, they, you know, don't repeat, whatever, reveal the story. This happened the Murrah building bombing. I mean, of course it happened with the World Trade Center, but the Murrah building bombing, you know, it's the first 12 hours told a tale. And then from the next day forward, they get rid of witnesses, they start fudging the story, and they shape it into the story they wanted, you know, the fertilizer truck with McVeigh and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they were saying, that they were defusing bombs. Reporters are saying that they've taken three unexploded devices out of the building, yada yada yada. They just kill all that after the first day or so, and they put the story into a nice neat package. Of course, they themselves are deciding what the story is going to be, so that's why you see these wild fluctuations in quote the facts, because they're shaping the story to the final product.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rodney,
I got one more quick thing.
Sure. Okay.
Yes, I did notice how they're changing the story on the Fort Hood. The other thing, your guest, I heard Dr. Nyman say that stuff, and I'd already heard you tell us not to take it and explain this. And as I'm sitting here listening to Nyman, I'm thinking, liar, liar, your nose is getting longer.
Yeah, we have another Pinocchio story, don't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
Coming out.
I'll back him up on that one also. I like Jeff, but I don't like Nyman.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, I appreciate you backing up my comments. I have quite a bit of research that's going to reveal some aliases and some very interesting contacts. Now, I'm not saying this character that they've put out for public consumption is not involved in anything, But I tend to think on the basis of what I've been able to find out, they have to know what he's involved in, and he's an operative of a different color. Yes, he and he's playing a much different role. In this case, they decided they were going to make him a patsy.
He's probably Mossad.
Well, you're hitting something there, okay? You're hitting something. I can say he's got connections to Palestine, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and certainly he shows up in a lot of places in this country that the timeline they put forth and the one that I read off of this Virginia.gov website points out. Can't be in all those places and not have played some other kind of role.
The reason I understand it so well is because I read Dr. K's book, Wrongly Blamed, and I was graciously blessed with his manuscript to the new one coming out, It's Worse Than You Think, and I have both copies of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great researcher and a great author.
Well,
he's been on the show many times, too.
Yeah, I read him back in April, and I guess the book is going to come out sometime after the first of the year, and I'm drooling to get the final copy.
Yes. Well, I'm anxious to read it too.
I already know what's in it, so I can't say nothing yet, but let's put it this way, you will not be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for your call, Rodney, and thanks for that information and for backing us up. We appreciate it.
God bless you, and both of you have a good weekend.
All right, you too, and do call in again.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there you go, Ken. Somebody's paying attention. Mm-hmm. So why do you think they show us this business card like that? Is that that's to legitimize it, right?
Right, of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is wonderful though that more people now than ever are coming to realize just how much they've been deceived over the decades by media, because media are not, independent news reporters. They're not that at all. They haven't been that for a long time. And, of course, the influence by Tavistock, for instance, which is the main script writer for the world, for the Illuminati, has, never been greater than it is now. And it's obvious that, when we attacked Iraq the first time in 91, that the Pentagon has all these players who work for them posing as reporters on Nightline, for instance. I remember on the first Gulf War attack, I didn't know about the New World Order at the time. I bought the story along with the rest of the country. And I can remember that on Nightline, they had this guy, I'm trying to remember his full name, Tony Anthony something. Cordovo or... I'm trying to remember. Cordoba, something close to that. Found out years later, I didn't know at the time because they didn't say it at the time, but he's sort of like an authority on military maneuvers and so forth. He's wearing a suit, of course, but he's there every night. They're having a report on the attack, he's the main guy. The host of Nightline is turning to explain what's going on. Well, as it turns out, he's a Pentagon employee. We didn't find that out to many years later. And whenever we have, some sort of military operation, we're getting press releases created in the Pentagon being relayed as if it's news by people who are calling themselves news reporters. So, we attack, these countries that had nothing to do with 9/11, Afghanistan and Iraq, resulting in the death and misery for so many innocent people.
You remember the years they used to have a guest on, a guest journalist from Russia, from the Soviet Union, Vladimir Posner. You remember?
Posner, absolutely. Posner is a very famous,
Yeah,
he was, you know, directly from the Politburo scene. I think he, you know, he was up front he used to work, was it for, Pravda, I believe. He was a regular, you know, reporter with Pravda. And yeah, he used to be on Nightline all the time. I remember very well. I remember him very well, absolutely. And, yeah, so the media aren't reporters. You know, you over the internet, you at least have the opportunity to hear people who, you know, are functioning as reporters, how accurate the info is, you know, how well detailed, documented, reference. That's all, you know, a variable.
And his spiel was always, you know, you Americans, you have it all wrong, you know. Well,
yeah,
what were they doing? They were conditioning us for communism. Bluntly put, you know.
Exactly. So,
and they left him out there as long as they needed to get that message out, and then all of a sudden he disappeared, you know. It was before the Berlin Wall came down.
Yes, I remember very well. During the 80s, just as you said there, he was on Nightline quite often as a guest, and yeah. He looked to him sort of as an authority on commenting on these things. And, yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I didn't, you know, I listen to what he had to say. I always do. But it's not like, you know, I tell myself, oh, yeah, I'm taking all this to heart. It was clear he was a communist. He's selling the Communist Party line. I mean, it was evident. It was obvious. And it's okay. We can listen to it. It doesn't mean we buy it. It doesn't mean we accept it, but we'll listen to what he has to say.
Yeah.
No problem.
Well, but, Ken, yeah. we've run out of time here, but I want to stress that it was no accident that George W. Bush and Laura Bush were there at that base. They were there to check up on the bank heist that was going on near the airstrip. And that's caused a rift between the Bush-Clinton cabal of organized crime.
Yes, I can imagine it would.
and we're going to hear more about that in upcoming shows. I'm working on a piece for The Observer on this Fort Hood issue. And I'm going to be sharing some of my own personal research on this matter. I'll stay on top of what you're putting out. I want to give you the opportunity to give out your web address to the listeners. We've got to say goodnight. So.
Okay. The website is educate-yourself.org, educate-yourself.org. And the final closing thoughts is... help others realize the dangers of the swine flu vaccine. Do not take it, but more importantly, encourage others to not take it. There's a number of articles on my website. I have a couple online books posted on my website. I want to get the Higgins book linked from your website, Don, as soon as I find it, so I can put that link as well. And if you don't know the story behind the dangers of vaccines, by reading these online books, you'll at least get a far better idea of what you're hearing in the media is total fabrications, distortions, lies, and misdirections. None of it is true. Vaccines are dangerous to the body. You don't want to take any vaccines for any reason. But the swine flu is a bio-weaponized, patented toxin. Do not put this in your body. Do not put it into the body of children. You have no idea what may occur in the wake of that. You may die. You may be crippled for life. Don't do this. Don't accept these vaccines and vigorously help in the campaign to, you know, if enough people stop taking the vaccine, this vaccine campaign would be over. So we have to get enough people woken up to the fact that they're poisoning themselves with this stuff and to not participate. And then I was hoping this whole thing would be over by December. I don't know. It looks like it's going to continue into next year, people are poisoning themselves. They've got to wake up and stop.
Well, we have to keep putting the truth out and pray that people will wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on a soul level, there may be some that have chosen that path anyway. So, you know, it comes down to personal responsibility as much as it does to, you know, point out that we're taking more than our share of responsibility.
Right, we're doing what. Right, we're doing what we can, but you know, this is the capacity that I can try to participate to help. So I want to do it while the opportunity is available to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Ken, thank you. It's been a very interesting show, very informative. I want to thank you for the work you're doing and all the promotion you give me and my website, directlightproductions.com, and my work and our collaborative efforts. We've got some stuff that we'll be coming out with together pretty soon. I'm working on this piece with Dr. H. Ruat for the next edition of the Idaho Observer. And the paper's still alive, by the way, and it'll keep going. So
okay, thank you as well, Tom.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And our special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. Visit his website. Again, that web address is educate-yourself.org. Special thanks to blogtalkradio.com for carrying this broadcast live and on archives. Also to blogtalkradio.com. We want to thank all the international listeners that we have that are attentively paying attention to this information that we brought out tonight. We're not trying to scare you. We're trying to let you know what we know is going on in the best of our ability. Special thanks go out to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.